is from the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to do something a little different this morning.
Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz and Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasses, and Manasses begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias, and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph.
And he just keeps going like that. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. If it be your will, may it be your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. My second grade teacher was named Mrs. Hamilton. Well, that's what she changed her name to. She started off as Miss Brim, and then she said she got married, which, what does that mean? She probably was doing something wrong, and she's trying to keep the authorities at bay. So she changed her name. She said she went on a honeymoon, which, well, I was only 8, so I figured that was just a trip outside of Ohio. Anytime you left Ohio, it was called a honeymoon. She showed us on the map. She's trying to really prove that it was legit. She showed us, you know, she went to Jamaica. But when I went home and looked at the globe, it looked a lot more like Taiwan to me. So I could have been on the wrong side of the globe, I'm not sure. But at any rate, she said her name was Mrs. Hamilton now, and that took a lot longer to spell than Miss Brim. I was kind of hoping we could just stick with that. But we never really saw eye to eye, to be honest, because I felt like, you know, I was really there in second grade to talk. And it turns out Mrs. Hamilton, she felt like she was there to talk too. I assumed we could share the talking responsibilities, and this was not the case because we had a talk. And she poked me in the shoulder. She was very emphatic about the stopping of the talking, and I just thought of something else and didn't listen. And so I continued talking, and so did she. So we had to have another talk. And this time, she taped my mouth shut with masking tape. I can still sort of kind of sort of feel the sensation of the tape on my face. And she had me kneel down in front of a chair. I faced the chair kneeling, and she put the paddle on the seat of the chair, the wooden paddle juxtaposed to this orange plastic chair. I still can see it. She said to me, "If you say another word, this is what you'll get." And with her pokey finger, she pointed at the paddle. I don't think you can do that anymore. I mean, nobody in my house has said anything like that to me, that it's happening. So I feel very victorious that it is my job now that I really get paid to talk. That is such a sweet victory. But in the past, the seeds of the future are sown. Right there in second grade, my calling to talk. The seeds of the past, they seed the future. And in the present moment, you and I, we sow seeds that will spring up for the future. I saw a video this week of a promotion. Lieutenant Colonel becoming a full Eagle Colonel right there. He was standing so proud, about 48, 50 years old, standing there in the middle of the frame, flanked on either side by his wife and son, you could imagine. And you can hear a voice off camera talking about his accomplishments and talking a little bit about the history of the symbol of the eagle for the rank of colonel as it's come up through history. And you can see the wife and the son, they're a little nervous. They're fidgeting with his epaulets to take off the leaves and to put on the eagles. And they don't do this a lot, so they're trying. And you can see his face. And he's proud to be surrounded by his family and his friends. And I was thinking about him and imagining him as a Cub Scout. Imagining when he got his Bobcat and how they used to flip the boys upside down and pin it on upside down and then flip them back over, and you couldn't turn it around until you did a good turn. Then you could turn it back around. And I wondered if that eagle, if it was a Bobcat when it was planted, but it grew into an eagle. The seeds of the past, they're sown and they become the future. And you and I, in the present moment, we sow seeds for the future. A woman kneels down on a stage, an auditorium filled with family and friends. She's among others, and she is, by her advisor, she is hooded, and she is now a PhD in molecular biology. And as everyone claps, she looks at her hands, and she imagines all the bacteria on hands. She thinks about how when she had a seventh birthday, her grandmother came over a little early. Grandma didn't really like crowds, came over a little early and gave her a gift. "It's for you." And she was so excited. "Oh, what is it? What is it?" Well, open it up. And so she opened it up and she saw on the side in big letters it said microscope. And she said, my telescope. "No, it's a microscope." "A microscope? Great! What's a microscope?" "Well, you could take it out and look at it." "Well, what's a microscope?" "Well, a microscope is something that makes small things seem bigger." "Oh, will it work on dirt?" "Yes, it will." And as she looked at her hand, when she got that PhD in molecular biology, she thought about all the dirt that she looked at. The seeds of the future were sown in the past. And even in the present moment, we sow seeds for the future. A lot of us, when we think of Victor Hugo, we think of Les Mis, right? And even the musical where they sing for a half an hour or more about the barricade, and I really have no idea at that point. I'm not paying attention. I heard the little cute song by the French girl, and I'm waiting for the big number at the end, and that's usually a good time to go to the restroom. But Victor Hugo did a lot of stuff, and I discovered that he wrote a poem about Boaz, called Boaz Asleep. And it's really a winsome poem. He says in the poem, "As Jacob slept, as Judith slept, so now did Boaz on his threshing floor. While overhead, a door came open and a dream fell from the sky into the old man's mind. He saw a live oak grow out of his belly, far up into the blue, and many people climbed it in a long chain, while a king sat singing at the root, and a god died at the crown. And Boaz murmured, sleeping in his soul, "Could this come forth from me, past 80? Still I have no son, I have no wife. And shall a nation come from this ruined flesh? Shall I now have a child? I might believe it young, when I could still see mornings rise out of the night as if in triumph." So Boaz said in his dream, his ecstasy still turning him toward God, eyes blurred with sleep, "The cedar does not feel the rose bloom at its root, and Boaz did not feel at his feet the young woman." Such a great poem. The present moment doesn't always realize that the seeds of the past were sown and they grow into that moment. And often we don't realize in the present moment we sow seeds of the future. Almost anybody in the scriptures could have said that. You can imagine Sarah saying that or Abraham saying that. Could I, this old, in this moment, could there be a future for me? Boaz, this old man, I mean, he's a widow, or widower, rather, and he doesn't know. There's no future. He doesn't see a future for himself. And yet, in that moment, he doesn't even know there's a future. And that at the root of the tree sings the king, King David. And in the crown of the tree is the God-man, Jesus the Christ, who offers himself for all. He can't even see that as a possibility, as a possible future. Ruth is such a great story. Did you enjoy reading Ruth this week? Did it feel kind of like a fresh of breath air, as they say? It's so good. You know, you go from Joshua and there's kings getting their necks stepped on, and you go, then you go, okay, well, maybe Judges, nah, Jael's got the tent peg and she's ready. So now we kind of turn to Ruth. It's really quite a pastoral story. Finally, a story that we think we might be able to present in church, maybe. Well, there is that chapter 3 that I made Eric read today that's a little Jackie Collins-ish, you know. But, you know, I don't have to read it quite that way. But we have in chapter 1, you know, the first scene, we have the sons pass away, and Orpah, who is a wonderful person. Do you know that Oprah Winfrey, her real name was Orpah, but she changed it to Oprah? I just don't know if you knew that, and I don't really know that that's very important, but I wanted to tell you, because when will I have a chance to say it again? So Orpah, who is a good person, she leaves and does what's okay, but Ruth clings to her mother-in-law and says, "No, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, there I will be buried. May God do far worse to me if I ever leave you, if even death would part us." And Naomi begrudgingly accepts that. And they begin a journey together. And Naomi is greeted, but she doesn't want to be called Naomi anymore. She says, "Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but I'm back empty." And Naomi settles into a deep depression, I think. But Ruth is really the agent here, the agent of activity and freedom. And she goes out and she begins to do what she can for her family. This family she did not want to leave, and so she starts. And she meets Boaz. And now the couple speeches that you kind of have to keep track of for us is you have to remember that Ruth said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you what you do, I'm going to do, and I'm with you, and let's go." You have to remember that. And then you have to remember Boaz greeting Ruth and saying, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." You have to remember that Boaz said that, because Ruth is going to remember. Because in the third chapter, the third scene, when she goes to the threshing floor and uncovers Boaz's feet and lays down, he wakes up, and he's normally quite a flowery guy, a good public speaker, but he's shocked, and he says, "Who are you?" quite brusquely. And she says, She says, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Or it could be rendered, and I think in a New Revised Standard Version it is, it's spread your wings over me, for you are my redeemer. She's sort of calling in that favor. Boaz says, oh, may the Lord bless you and spread his wings over you. And Ruth is saying, you know how God's going to do that? God's going to take care of me through you. God's going to have you spread your wings over me. Your position is here and ours is here. You have power and privilege. We are in trouble and need help. You're going to spread your wings over us and our family and take care of us. And Boaz says, oh, okay. And he says, I didn't underline it, but he says something to the effect of, oh yes, I will do for you all you ask. And that would remind us of the first thing that Ruth says, where you go, I will go. So Boaz has that same spirit that was in Ruth. Boaz, they're kindred spirits. He says to her, you're so blessed among women. You overlooked all these young men, whether rich or poor, and looked upon me in my old age. She represents the future for Boaz. In this moment, while he was dreaming, as Victor Hugo imagines, dreaming of a future where there was no future, having hope where there was no hope. And Ruth represents to him that hope and that future. Just like Boaz redeems Ruth, now Boaz is redeemed by Ruth in this moment. In this moment, there is a seed of hope deeply planted that grows. A seed they never would have possibly imagined grows out of this moment, like a tree with the king singing at its root and the king of glory offering himself for all in its crown. What a moment, this hope. You know, in the days ahead, you and I are going to hear a lot of fear-mongering. There's lots of fear. If you love delicious fear with gravy, you are in for it. You can get fear with the side of anxiety and pessimism. It's available most places for $4.99 or less. If you watch the 24-hour news, please stop. Please, just for a while, stop. I believe there will be a poll taken. Your life will increase by plus 7%. Your life will get so much better because all it is fear and drug commercials. That's it. And we don't want that. We want to push that aside because that kind of stuff takes root and it causes more anxiety and more fear, and it causes us to just look back, to look down and to look back. It's not too hard for us to get into a conversation. Maybe this has happened to you. You get into a conversation and the conversation is called, "Things were so much better when I was a kid." Now, I mean, I'm not even 41 yet, but it's easy for me to get in that conversation, and I find myself very easy, and I talk with Noah and Liam about video games, and I think to myself, oh boy, the video games when I was a kid, they were real simple, they were so good, and what I'm talking about is, oh, things are so much better when I was a kid. We used to play outside till the streetlights came on. Things are so much better. Oh, you remember that? We all do it. We've got to stop that and instead sow the seeds of hope. Sow the seeds of hope in all the little cups in our lives. Because in the present moment, we sow the seeds of the future. And so we gather in the fellowship hall and we say thank you and we write three wishes for the church. And some of those seeds are going to fall on the sidewalks, but some of them will take root. They'll take root in the session. They'll take root in the leaders of the church and they'll grow because we planted them, seeds of hope, seeds for the future. And so we go, we sign up in Malden Hall for the listening sessions, which could also be called talking sessions, because we want you to talk and share your hopes and your dreams and your concerns and your thoughts about the future of the church, because the elders care about that, and they want to take that, and they want to plant it and water it and take care of it and have it grow. What a perfect children's time. Dan West. And I knew that when I heard the first cow's name was Faith, I knew that the second cow and the third cow, I was like, please let them be hope and love, please, and charity's fine. It was a Catholic cow. So Faith, hope, and love. I knew it because that is the future born out of the present moment. And that's why Heifer is so cool, and that's why we're committed to it. Because it's in this present moment, We sow the seeds of hope because they're seeds God gave us to plant. I want to show you a picture. And this is a picture. It's a little bit grainy, not the best one, but it's of a family. There they are together. And I don't know if you recognize the guy on the left. He looks like he might be maybe a little big for his age, but or his mom there is small, but maybe 11 or 12. Anybody have a guess who that is? All right. So if you've been to First Service, you might know that. But it does look like him. That's James Earl Jones, and he was the voice of our second reading today. If you ever have to read any hard passage from the New Testament, you can just outsource that to James Earl Jones, and he will be delighted to read it for you from the King James Version, and that's what he did for us today. I didn't even have to call him. He has it all on CD. So there he is. But when he was that age, he stuttered, as you may well know. He stuttered. And so I think his teacher was probably a little bit nicer than my teacher, Mrs. Hamilton. No, that's not true. Just different kids, right? He wouldn't talk and I wouldn't stop. And so he wrote a poem and she said, I bet she believed it, but she said that she didn't believe that he wrote it and he would have to read it in front of the class. So he stood up, James Earl Jones, and he read that poem all the way through. And didn't stutter once. And I would like to believe that in that moment, the seeds were planted that we have all got to watch grow. And so now we know that he's not poor and in Mississippi anymore. He's been all over the world. He's been on Broadway. And he's even, here's a picture of him now, or recently. He even has really nice headshots that you can download from the internet for free. And we know him as the voice of that lion guy from The Lion King. Mustafa, is that his name? Mustafa. I never remember his name, but I just call him Darth Vader because that's who he is to me. And he will always be remembered for his voice and for more than that. Because in a moment, seeds were planted, seeds of hope and not despair. And they took root and they grew. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can gather here together, that we can praise you, that we can teach your word to one another and hear it from each other as your disciples, that we can take that word and bear it into the world and change lives just as it's changed our lives. Help us, Lord, to plant seeds of hope amidst a landscape of despair. Help us to plant seeds of hope that you might water with your spirit, that they might take root and become a future that is bright. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.